Morning. Good to see everyone. Today we're going to review the series of lessons that we've had on evangelism. I will take first part of the class and do some of that review, and then John will continue on the remainder of the class and talk more about some intentional plans and some things that we have that we're going to be doing that y'all have an opportunity to be a part of and to be involved in. Before we do that, I'd like for us to talk just a moment about our folks that may be in need in our prayers and things, and y'all may have some more updated information on some of these folks than I do. I know that Alice Daniels is still in the hospital, as I understand. She's had a very rough go of it. She's been under some intensive care now for several days. I don't know if she's... Okay, good. Good. Kalita said that they talked or saw Tanya, that's her daughter, yesterday, and that she was very encouraged by the progress that her mother was making. So that's good news. Kyler and Caitlin Lee. Most of us know Kyler and Caitlin. You know, they recently had a new baby, and the new baby has had some very serious health problems. Heart issues, and they're up in St. Louis and had to undergo some heart surgery, and then there were some problems after that that created a little bit of a setback, and I haven't heard anything today. As anyone, they were very, very concerned, and as I would be, young couple that has gone through this once, and so this is kind of heartbreaking, but they need some encouraging news. Tina Bloor, that's Larry and Sharon Osborne's daughter, who's been in Texas. They're at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston. She had cancer surgery, and I've talked to Larry and Sharon a couple of times during the course of the last week. The test results came back. The tissue samples were all clean, and that's as good a news as they could have gotten. And she is up and walking, and they're very, very optimistic that they'll be home soon. Tina will have to have some additional types of treatment for some period of time, but that's good news. How's your mom? Okay. Helen Harbor, you know, has had surgery, what, over a week ago now? Week ago Friday, and she's up and about a little bit, right? Moving around some, and that's about the best we could hope for and things, so we're glad that Helen's making recovery. The McCanns, you know, Alan is in rehab, and Carol is home. Carol had cataract surgery, and of course, Alan had some problems, and he had to go into the hospital, and now he's in rehab. So we want to continue to pray for Alan and Carol. We have others that are recuperating from surgeries and other problems, falls and different things, and I think the news on most of those folks is good. Tim's doing real good. Jed's doing okay, doing better, I guess. He can sneeze and cough and not double up. That's good. Cindy and Brian are still with us for a few more weeks. Okay, we'll take that. But they're still with us, and getting things ready and for their auction here in 2 weeks, right? Okay. Anyone else that I did not mention? Julie?
I'll be traveling Thursday to Tulsa for Aaron's wedding.
Okay.
For safe travel, and I'm just excited and looking forward to it.
You'll be getting a daughter-in-law.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay. Would y'all bow with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and to study from your word. We thank you, Father, that we are blessed in so many ways. Thank you for our families, and thank you for our church family. Father, we pray that we will do the things that we need to do to be pleasing to you and to be obedient in your sight. Father, as we continue our study on evangelism, we pray that we will all become more evangelistic in mind and in nature, that we will seek ways to bring others to you. Father, we are mindful of those that are dealing with some health problems. We pray that you continue to be with Alice Daniels and all those that are caring for her. Thank you for the good report, Father, on Tina. We know that many prayers were given to you on her behalf. We thank you for her good reports. Father, we're pleased that Helen Harbor is making progress. We thank you for Helen, and thank you for her health at this point. We pray that she will continue to improve. Thank you for Jan and her care and attention to her mother. We pray, Father, for the McCanns. We pray for Alan as he recuperates, and Carol as well. Father, we ask that you be with Julie as she travels this week. And we pray that as she goes to attend her son's wedding, that it will be an occasion that will be memorable, and that one that will result in a lasting service to you and devotion to each other. Father, we are thankful most of all for your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. For several weeks, John and myself started to say Adam and Scott. Scott have been teaching lessons on evangelism and going over various different aspects of being evangelistic in nature and making it intentional, and trying to discuss some ways that we can do that. One of the books that we have been using is Dr. Stafford North's book on evangelizing your community. And it's, I think, been a very good book, but very helpful with some good ideas. So today we're just going to do a review over some of those sections. And then John is going to, like I mentioned earlier, he's going to come and talk a little bit more about some of the things. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." So in the early church, we find that Christians had a responsibility that they took serious and that they followed up on. They went everywhere teaching the word. And they taught the word according to the eternal purpose that has been realized in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. That's all part of God's eternal plan for each one of us. I think it was Scott that did a lesson on having favor with all the people. And it was basically on public information. And in that lesson, public information talked primarily about the image that the Watermill Church of Christ wants to present to not only ourselves, but to the outside world, to our visitors, Talk a little bit about what does your signage look like? Is there a specific mission statement that y'all are trying, that we're trying to follow? The website, what does your website communicate? Building, who uses your building? Is it something that the community can recognize? Do you have some things that you allow to be, have to take place in your building? And we talked about letting your light shine. And Matthew 5:16, on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, let your light shine, so that other men may, what? See your good works. Letting our light shine means, as we sing the old song, don't hide it under a bushel, right? Let it shine. And so what we want to do when we let our light shine is we want everyone to see who we are, what we're about, and the image that we present to everyone is one that presents light, reaches out to others. And then we said, let your speech always be gracious. This is called conversational evangelism. Talk about being seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt means what? All right. Flavor. Flavor in our life. When we're visiting and we're talking with others, we always want our speech to be seasoned with salt. I think one of the examples that we talked about was that how the man that in his workplace, someone asked him, why are you always so happy? Why are you always so cheerful? And his response was, come with me and I'll show you why. And then that person was converted. So that is our plan. How you present yourself, do we go about being grouchy? Sometimes. I'm holding my hand up sometimes. Do we go about in our everyday walk of life, when somebody cuts us off, do we honk at them and everything else? Or do we kind of take the high road in life, whether we're wherever we're at, not whether we're at, but wherever we're at. Set apart for the work. And ministry evangelism. And I think that lesson that we, I don't know who did that lesson. Was it you? God did that one. And the main theme or the main point that came out of set apart for the work and ministry evangelism was making sure that we are intentional, that we develop specific strategies for evangelism, and that's the plan, is out of all this, is we want to come out with some strategies. What are we going to do? We can all talk about it, and we all do talk about it. Why aren't we growing, or what do we need to do? But we need to have some specific strategies which will tell us what we all can do and how we can use your help, and that everyone can do something. Continuing, we had a lesson on he first found his own brother. This is from in John 1, verse 41. Is a scripture there that you can look up and follow up on. But it's called friendship evangelism. So 75 to 90% of all new converts in the church said that their start in the church, their willingness to come to church, their desire to study, and ultimately obeying the gospel, 75 to 90% of them said that it was a friend or a relative. A friend or a relative. And so, you know, that's a starting place for some of us. That's a starting place for some of us. We all have friends. We all have relatives. And we all have people that maybe it's a little easier to talk to. We develop friendships in the workplace, so go ye therefore and make disciples, teaching the gospel. Okay. How do we teach? You know, where do we start? What, you know, do we go in and start initially that with everyone that this is what you got to do. This is what it's all about. We put the hammer down. Is that our initial approach usually? Brother Greeley. Okay. Greeley said we need to be careful. We need to start where people are. And I think what Brother Greeley means is, you know, we're not all at the same place, are we? We're not all at the same place at all. We could easily start with someone and they could easily say, I'll never come back there again. You know, we could do that real easily. So when we, are teaching others, we need to have a foundation, an understanding of how do we do this. We used to, years ago, use the old Jewel Miller film strips. All y'all familiar with those, I guess. I think I taught that section and I asked, are those still available? And I guess they are. I don't imagine they're probably in film strip version anymore. But, so you start where people are. Understanding that some people truly, truly need just the milk of the word. They're not anywhere close to being able to, at that point in time, to get into the harder parts or the meat of the word, so to speak. We talked about if you're teaching someone, the next step then is going to be conversion. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19. Conversion. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The follow-up. How important is the follow-up? We rejoice. We're excited. Along with the individual who may be converted and get baptized. But what happens if we don't follow up? It's real easy for them to get discouraged and say, this is not really what I thought it was going to be. I'm not too encouraged by this. What do I do now? That's our responsibility on the follow-up. We talked about having some type of new converts classes. And how do you do that? And any challenges that might come with that. Some of the challenges, for example, would be younger people being converted. Probably doesn't need to be in a new converts class with someone who's maybe 50 years old or whatever. The idea would be that you'd have enough new converts that you could have a class of each, right? Have a class of each. One for the younger, one for those that are a little older. So the follow-up is extremely, extremely important. People staying in touch. People being observant. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just be observant of people. You get a feel from just being observant of people if things are okay. And if you know them well enough, you can ask them, are you okay? Things going okay? What can we do to help you? You know, we better talk or something like that. Okay. Understanding that there are many members yet one body. 1 Corinthians 12:20. Getting everyone involved. The idea there being, folks, that we can't all do everything, but everyone can do something, right? We can't all do it all, but we can all do something. We have hands, we have feet, we have eyes. The body does, and they don't all serve the same function, but they all serve an important function. Okay? Understanding, only God gives a growth. That's from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. understanding God's role in evangelism. It's important that we understand that God gives a growth so that we don't become what?
Planters and waters.
All right, planters and waters. Planters and waters. In other words, if you're planting a plant, you know, some prepare the soil and plant the seed and water it. God gives a growth. It's important so that we don't get discouraged ourselves and think we didn't accomplish it. You know, if we've done our part, we've accomplished everything that God expects of us. And if it's absolutely still doesn't go where we need to, we continue to try, but understand God gives the growth. And aren't we glad that God does? Okay. All right. So that's a real quick review of the various chapters that we studied. I want to make sure I give John lots of time here this morning. We'll mention just real briefly that, you know, evangelism includes local congregation, evangelizing in our community. It also involves outreach. It also involves our work in foreign missions. And we don't do enough probably communicating with you folks about what's going on with the poor. Occasionally, Joey Treat may come up, or Stephen Ashcraft may come in. You know, with COVID and stuff, and everybody just, we've done the same thing at Fairhaven. No one went out for a year or two, and now I'm starting to get people saying, "We haven't heard from you. We need, you know, we'd like an update on the work at Fairhaven or whatever." But here at church, the same thing has occurred. You know, one of the challenges we still have is a lot of folks are not really meeting on Sunday night and some on Wednesday night. And so that's when you usually do your reporting. So anyway, those are all. Joey and Tammy Treat are in the Northern Mariana Islands in the Pacific, a long way from here. I think one time he told me when you get to Hawaii, you're about halfway there. In fact, I think they live now on Guam, if I'm not mistaken. And then so he travels some, does some island hopping, I think, with some of his mission work. And we support that work. Stephen Ashcraft is in West African missions. He spends a lot of time over there. And Stephen truly put his life on the line more than one occasion, going into some very dangerous places, yet he still continues to go. Charles Renfro, in the Latin American missions, mostly in the, I think what we've supported there has been some printing and that type of work. Of course, Fairhaven has been a work of this congregation. Fairhaven is the congregation that started, our North National started Fairhaven way back in 1964. 1964 is when it was given the initial charter and license to operate a children's home. That was the old North National. I can look up the records, and Brother Bob Snyder's the only one mentioned in our records from then. It's still with us. It's still with us. Voice of Truth International, we have kind of split that support up a little bit, where some of it goes to the actual printing of the Voice of Truth International, and some of it goes to another individual who works with that work more in the actual field itself, I think. The Disaster Relief Program, Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, I think based out of Nashville, Tennessee. Does that sound right? We support them in SEARCH, one of the television programs, and Know Your Bible. And Jean, I know, has been involved in Know Your Bible for a long time, stays on top of it, stays with it. Some of the rest of you have been involved and have benefited from those works. Some of you answer the phones. Well, those are some of the evangelistic outreach worldwide efforts that we have. John, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hey, Barnum.
Yeah, I'm going to take this off.
Okay. There we go. That's it. Thanks, Barney. As we just had, of course, we just went over the works that we support. One of the reasons, one of the things, when the elders were first talking about what we can do to better focus on our efforts of evangelism, we recognize, as Barney mentioned, there that we haven't done a very good job of communicating to you all the works that you support. Every Lord's Day that we give, some of that anyway, does go to these works that he just mentioned. So we do need to do a better job of communicating that to you and getting you all involved in ways to help. We do occasionally have those annual reports, and we have it listed in the bulletin so you can see those works and those people to pray for, but we feel like we can do maybe a little bit more. So we're going to think of ways, you're going to help us think of ways that we can do just that. I know personally, and you guys I'm sure have too, been in congregations where they have a wall or a bulletin board dedicated to their missions with pictures and that kind of thing. So that's just one thought, one idea. But be thinking about ways that we can better communicate to our congregation those works that we list in the bulletin each Sunday. So next, we're going to think a little bit about ideas. And this list that you see up here now with ideas from our study coincide, of course, with the review that Barney just did. As we go through this list, it'll tie directly to that review, because these ideas come from Dr. Norris' book. So as we kind of look over some of these are just some ideas, just that. We as a congregation need to decide, well, what would work best at Watermill? For some of these things are non-negotiable, I guess you'd say, that we definitely want to be a focus for what we're doing that we're going to talk about here in a moment. But we want to hear ideas from you guys. One of the things you're going to have to help me with, one of the things I struggle with is I think of a whole lot of things, and I want to do all those things at the same time. And, of course, then I get into, well, I can't do all of those things at once, and I don't know if some of that comes from the career I just had where there were a lot of things that had to be done, and you just did the best you could for those things and kept moving from day to day, but that's not the best way, of course, to operate. We need to think of some things that we can do really good and then help me decide what things that can maybe wait a little bit or that we can do a little bit later. Or I think ideally, and this is where I may not give up on that idea of doing a lot of things, is how many of you can be involved in helping with those things. Because when you come up with a list like you see here, that is doable. Just those ideas from Dr. Norris' book. When you think about the people that can be involved to help, you might see a particular bullet on this list that you yourself could take on. And of course, some of these, as we'll go through, we're all going to do all the time, of course, as we go through this. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. I'm more and more amazed at the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of God and His plan for us and what He wants for us. And Matthew 28, as Barney went over the review, you notice three of those chapters, three of those lessons that we had from Dr. Norris' book came from this one passage at the end of Matthew 28 that we're familiar with. And I'm going to read a little bit more there toward the end, actually the last five verses, beginning in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then notice, of course, what he says in these next two verses. Dr. North committed three whole chapters to, and I want us to think about here in just a minute before we start to look through this list of ideas and be thinking some more about your ideas and our next steps. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. As we move forward and think about a team and think about a focus, I think just simply making disciples is something. We entitled this series of lessons, Evangelizing Your Community, and evangelism, of course, is an important word, and we often think of evangelizing in terms of converting, baptizing. But as we well know, and of course as we're going to be reminded of with these two verses, that's just the beginning of the journey. That's just the very beginning. So when we think about making disciples, yes, there is a beginning point. There is a way to begin that relationship, of course, in Christ, with our Heavenly Father, but there's the whole journey ahead, the whole life that God blesses us with that comes after that, that of course involves learning more and more about Him and more about His will for us. So of course making disciples involves baptizing and teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that all that I've commanded you, that's another thing that amazes me more and more as we study God's Word, just how much that is and how much there is to learn all that He has commanded us. And that is a lifelong pursuit and a lifelong goal and purpose that we have in our life once we begin that journey. So that's what we want to be more intentional, as Barney mentioned, to be more intentional. We're always thinking about it. We know when we come each Lord's Day, when we live our lives, that there's those out around us that need to hear the gospel. There's those that need to obey the gospel. And then, of course, those along with us that need to continue to be taught and continue to learn and to live the life that God has planned for us. So let's always be focused on that passage, which, you know, that's a passage I know a lot of us are familiar with, and we could all recite from memory, but we want to really stay focused more and more on that as we move forward. So ideas, and again, as we go through these, these are going to line right up with Barney's review that he did. Focus on Christ, the first two chapters there, focus on Christ and a clear message on how people respond to the gospel. And then, of course, identify and implement methods of teaching the gospel. Those are things that we will always do and we always need to focus on. The different methods, I think that's one of the things that can come out. As Greeley pointed out earlier, we always have to start with where someone is. And I think that ties directly into what kind of method that you use. I used to teach math in secondary level, and there's not to get into something that might make some of you cringe if you didn't like math when you talk about algebra and geometry and equations, but there was a certain point where you look at a certain equation, and then based on the form of that equation or how that equation was set up, then determine which method would be the best one to use to solve that equation. And so I think that's an analogy to what Greeley was saying. We identify where someone's at in their life, and then we begin teaching them based on where they are at in their life. We don't take every single person and use this one method to teach that person. I think not only do we recognize where they're at in their life, but we also are familiar with a number of different methods And that takes a little bit of work, takes a little bit of thought. And that's where I think we can rely on each other too. It's as we encourage one another and as we talk about those that we might be able to bring to Christ, talk with each other about what might be a good way, the best way to teach that particular person where they are at in their lives. And I think that's one of the things we really want to emphasize with our efforts is to help each other with bringing others to Christ and sharing the gospel with others. Not just think you're all alone. You've got this one neighbor that you really think is close to wanting to know that and to hear that. For us to be able to share with each other about that situation, to help each other with that. And then, of course, help our community know the Watermill Church of Christ. There's so many things. When Scott taught that lesson, I remember he was just barely able to get the tip of the iceberg with that lesson because of all the different ways that our community can see us and what Watermill stands for and who they are. And, of course, be like Christ. I like the words, the different illustrations of who we are, what we are, the light, the salt, the aroma, our ambassadors, the conversations, including Christ and the Bible and church and our conversations with people. Encourage every ministry to be evangelistic, bringing our friends and family to Christ. Remember our motivations and attitudes in sharing Christ with others. Be prepared to help someone make the decision to follow Christ, help new Christians grow in the faith, and then, of course, pray. Really, when you look at that list, we need to be doing all those things. That's just kind of a good foundational list for us to look at as we think about what we learned in this study. To move forward with all those things. What we're talking about with more ideas from you all, and as we continue our next steps, is how specifically do we need to do the, in other words, what ideas, how can we, for example, as we think about helping our community know the Watermill Church of Christ, when we think about the building, communication, website, visitors, serving activities, just take one of those things, just take the building. What do we need to do related to the building that would help our visitors as they come in know more about us, know that this is a great, great place to be and a great family to be part of. So that's what I mean by the specificity. All of these things are good foundational ideas that we need to stay focused on, but how are we going to do then each of those things? Praying, I'm going to encourage each and every one of us right now, or actually we already have when we had the last lesson, is to pray. Every one of us can do that. But we hope as we move forward to be more specific in what and who we pray for. As we think about bringing someone to Christ, particular neighbors, not necessarily asking that every single person turn in their list of their neighbors, but we all know that we can pray for our neighbors and for each other's neighbors as we bring each other to Christ, and you specifically can name them by name. And if you need to, share that name with us, and we can pray specifically for particular individuals. So praying is something we can do every single day. And that's another thing I know you guys realize too as we live our lives in Christ and travel this journey is what that passage about praying continually, praying without ceasing means. There's so much to pray for. Barney and I were just making the list of different ones just most recently. If we just think of the last month or two with those who have lost loved ones, those recovering from surgery, those in the hospital, those traveling, that in itself is a pretty good list. But we can easily add to that list praying for our efforts to bring others to Christ, praying in our efforts for that follow-up that's so, so important that we're also going to focus on as well for once people start that journey to help them continue on in that journey. And that's another great thing that you can be thinking of, specific ideas. Once we bring someone to Christ, once God adds them to the church in Christ, how can we best help that person then grow in Christ? And, of course, that's involved with teaching everything that I've commanded you, as Christ said. So the next steps, Was there a first bell? There should have been, I think. Did anybody hear a bell? Okay. Sorry. Okay, it's about that time. So I think we just about got it in, but I want to just think about next steps. We mentioned a team, and you noticed in the bulletin today, if you had time to read it, we have that announcement in the bulletin. If you can come, if you'd like to, we invite as many as want to come to this first meeting, September 11th at 4 p.m. in room 126. And if we have too many for that room, we'll just move over to the fellowship room or come over here to the auditorium. But you are invited to come if you just want to kind of hear about it. And what we'll do, we'll start that particular time with just a real quick thought, of a devotional thought from God's Word to get us started. But we're looking for your ideas. So between now and then, you know, jot some ideas down. If you've already had some, hopefully through this study, I have an idea. As I look at everybody here, I can only imagine how many ideas were going through heads as we went through the study. And probably should have had you guys write those down. But hopefully mentally you've put them down in your mind so you can share with us. And as I said earlier, we won't be able to do every single idea. But we want your ideas, we want your involvement to help us be more intentional about bringing others to Christ and helping others continue in this journey. So read that announcement. I won't read it to you since you've got your bulletin there in front of you. But making disciples, we want everyone involved. We are going to get every one of you involved because at the very least, and I don't mean to minimize that, we can all pray for sure. So everyone will be involved at least in that way. But we're hoping to take each one of you to the next step of implementing some of these things that we've learned in this study with your neighbors and your friends. And of course, remember a big, big part of this is simply being here and living the life that God has planned for us and learning everything that He has commanded. Even to the end of the age. I always like the song, especially the words, "We'll work till Jesus comes." And that's what we want to encourage each of us to do, is just keep on working until Jesus comes. It's what we want to do. And of course, a big, big part of that work is bringing others to Christ and helping others live the life that God intended for us and has blessed us with. So think of your ideas, be praying about making disciples. So I want to go ahead and close. I know that was our bell to be dismissed, but I'm going to close with that passage one more time, and then we'll get ready for our worship time. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Thanks, everyone.